A few weeks ago, I was praying that the Lord would give me a topic for a Sunday morning, and he told me that I was to do David and Goliath. And I have to admit, my first thought was, you know, isn't this just a children's story? Now, I can see if somebody out there is saying, yeah, come on, I heard this when I was 6 years old. What am I going to learn from this? I think I'm going to go garden. Well, please don't. Because there's actually quite a bit here. And that, you know, the Lord didn't give us this passage by accident. I don't think he put it in Scripture just for children, right? Because the truth is that we're all Davids at some point in our lives. So open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's probably a section that you're not used to being in. It's in the Old Testament, about halfway between Genesis and Psalm. It's page 290 in my Bible, but that doesn't help you a whole lot. If you find it necessary to look in the table of contents, well, now is the time to do that. One thing that, when I study Scripture, I like to do is to put myself in the position of the people in the Bible, right? And if you think about it, we will all face Goliath in our life. And my question to you is, what is your Goliath? In fact, well, I want to say one other thing before I do this, that you may not be facing a Goliath today, but if you're not facing one today, there's one in your future. It may be tomorrow, it may be next week. Your Goliath can be a variety of things, right? It could be fear of this COVID, right? It could be fear that you're not going to have the money to pay your rent, your mortgage, right? It could be fear of looking stupid. It could be a whole bunch of different things in your life, right? Those are the Goliaths we face. So I'm going to take a moment and pray, right? And ask the Lord that if you're facing Goliath today, that he would bring it to your mind, so that you have it focused as we go through this passage of Scripture. And that if you're not facing a Goliath today, right, that he would convict you that you need to prepare for when you are facing a Goliath. So would you join me in prayer? Father God, your word tells us that each day has enough trouble for itself. And so, Father, I ask that those of us who are facing a Goliath today, that you would help us to recognize it, bring it to our mind, Lord, so that we can apply the lesson from your word to that fight with that Goliath today. And Lord, if we're not facing a Goliath today, that Father, would you help each one of us understand that the time for preparation is not when Goliath is in front of us, but it's beforehand. Help us to use your word to learn that lesson today. And I thank you in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen. Now, just for a reference to give you an idea, this is the Valley of Elah where the battle was actually took place. Let's look at Scripture, 1 Samuel 17. We'll begin with verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a court coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. So who was Goliath, right? We don't know for certain, but his armor weighed somewhere between 125 and 200 pounds. Now, I don't know about anybody out here. I doubt many of us could lift 200 pounds, much less go to battle carrying that much weight. All right. The spear point weighed between 15 and 25 pounds. Right? You think about that. A 15-pound weight on the end of a 6 or 8 foot pole, and that, I can't imagine biceps on this guy. Now, I think probably Goliath was the original architect of social distancing, right? You know, if you find this guy in Walmart in the bread aisle, you decide it's time for you to go buy your fruit. You want to avoid this guy at all costs. Now, before I get too deep into the story, I want to tell you about a time when I faced the Goliath. Okay. And that about, this happened about 9 years ago. For about a year before that, I've been involved with a ministry praying for emotional healing with people. And it was headed by and largely populated by people from another denomination. And so, you know, I was always very careful to try to observe their customs. Now, one of the things that we did is occasionally we would go to another city, to another church, typically of that denomination, for a Friday night, Saturday, and sometimes Sunday weekend. And then we went to Maitland for a weekend. On Friday night, pastor gave a teaching from about 7 to 8:30. And then they had our team members pair up with people from the local congregation to pray for people to come. They came, you know, to line up for prayer. And I happened to be teamed up with a young local pastor of that denomination. And two or three people came first, you know, typical prayer kind of request. About the fourth person in line was a lady. I can still picture her in that. I don't know whether she was 40 or 50. Hard to tell because you could tell life had not been easy for her. She came and asked us to pray for her husband. You see, her husband was a maintenance man. And he'd fallen off a ladder and done some damage to his ankle. Couldn't work. They didn't have money or insurance to go to a doctor or hospital. And she was concerned that if he stayed out of work more than another day or two, he was going to lose his job, and that was their income, and that they would then be homeless. The young pastor prayed for her first, and it was a fairly traditional kind of prayer. But while he's praying, I asked the Lord, "Well, Lord, what would you have me pray for this woman?" And to my astonishment, I hear the Lord saying, "Well, I want you to instruct his ankle to be well, the bones to be in place, the muscles to be the way I designed them to be, the tendons not to be stretched." I'm thinking to myself, "Lord, this is crazy. He's not even here. They're going to think I'm absolutely nuts." Here's where this relates, right? Part of my Goliath was that I like people to think well of me. I don't like to make waves. I don't like to look stupid. And frankly, praying this prayer could quite possibly make me look stupid, bring a bad name to the ministry that I was praying with. And I wrestled with it, and I don't know. I know what it's like to disappoint the Lord, and so I prayed that way. Now, you look and you go, "Okay, well, gosh, you faced your Goliath like David, and you conquered your Goliath. You know, goody for you." No, I'm not telling you that, because there's chapter 2 to this story. The following morning, on Saturday, we were to have individual prayer appointments with different people from that congregation and surrounding locale for different emotional issues that they had. And the first person I was to be with was a young man, mid-20s. And because it was just two men, I didn't have somebody to pray as an intercessor with me. Well, he came in, and I'd never seen him before. He'd never seen me before. And he made it fairly clear right away that he really didn't want to be here. The only reason that he was here was to satisfy his grandmother, who he was living with at the time. I didn't quite know what to do. And I, you know, danced around a while with him. After a bit, I kind of had the feeling he probably didn't even know the Lord, and I probably should try to bring him to the Lord. But Goliath came up again. You know, was I going to step out? And the truth was, is I didn't. Goliath won. Right? I didn't challenge him. I didn't ask him if he knew the Lord. I certainly didn't bring him to the Lord. And I finished, and you know, what was going through my mind was, you know, that I'd failed. And there was an enemy whispering in my ear, some prayer warrior you are, right? You failed this young man. You failed God. What good are you, right? And I was really feeling quite low. After lunch, I was to have appointments with two women. And they teamed me up with a young lady who happened to be the wife of the pastor that I was praying with the night before. And we finished praying with the first person that we were with. And between sessions, she told me, she says, yeah, driving home last night, my husband told me he'd never heard anybody pray like that before. That was just strange. I didn't know what to say at that point. Then the Lord brought chapter 3 to the story. Right? The lady from the night before that I had prayed for her husband comes up and she says, and she was beaming. Right? She says, you won't believe what happened when I got home last night. I go, well, what happened? She says, well, when I got home, my husband met me at the door. And he said, you had somebody praying for me tonight, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And he says, and it was probably about 9:15, wasn't it? And she says, yeah. He says, well, he said, my ankle was suddenly fine. Yeah. The part of what I want you to get out of this, okay, are a couple things. One, we will all face Goliaths. Because we win one time doesn't mean we'll win the next time. And two, it's not us who's facing the Goliath. It's the Lord. Okay. Now let's get deeper into the passage, okay? Keep that in mind, though. All right? First, your Goliath will challenge and threaten you. Okay? That's his job. Let's read verses 8 to 11. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come up and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man to have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Interesting, that word dismayed, in the Hebrew, it means broken mentally. That's what Saul wants, what Goliath wants to do. He wants to defeat you both physically and mentally. Not one, but both. Right? When you're facing Goliath, Goliath is going to attack you on both levels, both physical and emotional. Right? He's going to try to separate you from your king. Right? Notice, bring one soldier out, and I will fight that one soldier. When you're facing Goliath, Goliath wants, whatever your Goliath is, wants you to be separated from your Lord. That's your power source, right? The guys here, when setting up the live stream, they've got to be plugged into a power source, right? If you take them out of the power source, well, the battery is good for so long, and then it dies. The same thing is with us. If we get disconnected from the Lord, we may last for a short period of time, but we're soon going to run out of gas and die. All right? The enemy wants you to serve him. Right? That's what Goliath called out for David and the Israelites. Right? Whether you have an addiction, a fear, an issue of pride, whatever it is, right? The enemy wants to use that so that you serve him, so that you're not serving the Lord. Right? So my question is, what does your Goliath want from you? Right? So, well now, who was David in this battle? Right? Let's go to verses 12 to 15. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend to his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now David shows up actually a chapter earlier, and let me give you a little background here. Now, David, Saul had disobeyed the Lord when he overcame the Amalekite army. And the Lord told the prophet Samuel, whose book we're reading here, that he wanted Samuel to go to Jesse because the Lord was going to identify to Jesse who the king to replace Saul was going to be. Now, if you look in chapter 16, and we don't have time to go there, I'll just capsulize the story for you. Jesse came, all right, and Samuel came, and he told Jesse, line your sons up. One of them is going to be the new king. So he went to the oldest. Lord said, no, not this one, even though he was good looking. Went to the second. No, not this one. Went through all seven. Samuel's a little confused because he figured, well, Jesse, right, if he's a man of any intelligence, is going to bring all of his sons there to be one of them to be named king. Right? But Samuel asked Jesse, do you have any more? Right? And Jesse's response was, yes, we have one. Right? And I forget the Hebrew word for it. But basically it means the youngest, the least. Sometimes it means the worthless one. Right? That's the way Jesse looked at his son. He said, yeah, I've got this the least one. He's out watching the sheep. Well, if you want, I can bring him in. Well, that's the one the Lord put his hand on. Right? A couple of things that we need to keep in mind on this. One, the Lord uses the least among us to slay Goliath in this world. In fact, the stronger we think we are, probably the less able, the less useful we are to the Lord. At least that's been my case. He's been whittling me down to size for 35 years now. The other thing, though, is that when we face a Goliath, Goliath wants us to feel small. He wants us to feel like the least, that we're worthless, right? That doesn't matter. You may think that you're not up to facing Goliath. If you have the Lord on your side, as David did, it doesn't matter how big or how small or how least you are. All right, now David was a shepherd, right? And, you know, we think of shepherds today and like, oh, they're neat little farmer guys. Well, that wasn't the way they were looked at in biblical times. In biblical times, shepherds were often kind of disreputable. They were often thieves. And they, quite frankly, weren't welcomed in the towns and villages very often. You may feel when you face a Goliath that maybe you're disreputable, right? But if you're doing what the Lord tells you to do, and that it's not your reputation, it's not your strength, it's the Lord. Right? The Lord anointed David through Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16, which I talked about a minute ago. If you belong to the Lord, right, just as David was anointed, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. If the Lord tells you that you can do something, you can do it. You have basically the same anointing that David has at that time. So let me ask a question. Are you any less than David? I don't think so. Verse 16. For 40 days the Philistine came forward, and every morning and evening he took his stand. Your Goliath is not going to leave you alone. Until you deal with your Goliath, whether it be a fear, an addiction, a pride issue, whatever it is, it's going to stay there and it's going to keep bothering you. Your Goliath will not go away. You have a choice. You will either have to run from Goliath or you're going to have to face him. It's your choice. Now, in any battle, it's important to know your enemy. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? If you were to underline something in your Bible, I would underline uncircumcised Philistine. Okay? Recognize that this case, your enemy is against God, right? Somebody who was uncircumcised in that day did not belong to the Lord, right? Your enemy, your Goliath, doesn't belong to the Lord, right? He defies the living God, right? David recognized it, right? When, how often does Scripture, I forget what the number is, says, do not fear, right? I've not created you and created you for fear, right? And that, you know, if the enemy wants us to be fearful, right, he's defying the living God, right? He's defying the living God's armies. That's us. Next, whose voice will you listen to? Two verses here. Verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Or verse 33. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting man from his youth. David was getting ungodly advice. That ungodly advice is going to try to remind you how small you are compared to the Goliath you face. That voice may come in terms of other people, quite often ungodly people, and that. But it can also come from the enemy. Right? When I was facing my Goliath in the story I told you about, right, the enemy in my head, right, telling me that I was too small, I couldn't do it. To a certain extent, he was right. By myself, I couldn't do anything with anyone's ankle. Come on, let's be serious. I don't know anything about medicine, much less telecommuting medicine. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And that, you know, the enemy will put that in your head. He's going to remind you how small you are, right? But what you need to remember is the enemy is a liar. He's the father of lies, right? The other thing that comes to my mind is that ungodly advisors don't want you to face your Goliath. Couple of reasons. One, because if you have the audacity to face Goliath, well, think about it, right? Soldiers, for 40 days, Goliath comes out and he beats his chest and says, hey, one of you guys, come on out and fight me, right? These guys, right, they're all scared witless, right? David goes, I'm going to do it. Well, now they look like chumps, right? They're reminded of how chicken they are, right? Your friends, you know, they may tell you that you can't get over the addiction that you're dealing with. Why? Because they don't want to admit that if they did what you are doing, that they might have to face their Goliath. It's easier for them if you don't face your Goliath. So yeah, you can go to happy hour and get drunk with the guys, and they're happy to buy you another round. But they don't want you to say that you can get sober. In any war, you want to know what your weapons are. Let's look at verse 34 to 37. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. All right. David was prepared for battle. Think about it. Right? I don't know a whole lot about being a shepherd, but I'm guessing watching sheep eat grass 24/7, after a while it gets a little boring. Right, especially if you don't have video games or Netflix to watch. So if I'm David, or real, what is it right now media, if I'm David, right, at some point I go, you know, let me practice with my slingshot. Right? And he's probably flinging stones all over the field, practicing hour after hour. Right? He was prepared for battle. When he had to face Goliath, it wasn't something that he was new to. It was something that he was prepared for. Okay, well, now how does that relate to my life? Okay. Remember when I prayed that if you weren't facing a Goliath today, that you would prepare for it? Well, how do we prepare to meet with Goliath? I won't mention her name. I was talking to somebody 10 days ago. And she told me that, you know, yeah, the week had been tough, but her relationship with the Lord made it easier for her to go to him, pray, hear from the Lord how to handle what she was dealing with, right? How often do you hear Pastor Darren or myself tell you, spend time in the Word. Get your Bible out. Study it, right? Bury the Word in your heart. Right? Psalm 119, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Right? Bury it in your heart so that when you need it, it's there. Have time, have a daily time with the Lord where you spend time with him daily, getting to know him so that when those times come, you know what your weapons are. Right? Your weapons aren't physical. Right? David's weapon wasn't a stone. David's weapon was his relationship with the Lord. All right. So ask yourself, are you prepared for battle? All right. Revelation tells us, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. David had a testimony that he could take with him. That's why it's important for all of us when we face a Goliath and the Lord guides us through and kills Goliath for us. We need to keep that testimony. We need to bring it with us. We need to share it with our brothers and sisters in that. And we need to hang on to it for ourselves, right? Just this morning, I was talking with someone and they were telling me, yeah, things were challenging. And I was able to say to them, but yes, but you know that the Lord has been faithful. He's led you through other similar challenges. He's going to be faithful through this one as well. And they said, yeah, you're right. You're right. I know. He showed up before. He's going to show up again. I ask you, aren't fear, addictions, grief, whatever your Goliath is, aren't they an uncircumcised Philistine? All right? 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive to every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When we agree with the brothers who tell us that we can't beat Goliath, or the devil whispering in our ear that we can't beat Goliath, right? We have an uncircumcised mind. Right? We do not have the mind of Christ, right? We have not renewed our mind. We have not taken the thought captive in that as we're told to do. David knew where strength came from. All right. You know, what did he say? The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. All right. That's something that you want to underline or highlight in your Bible. The Lord will deliver me. Always remember that it's the Lord that's the deliverer. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. We need to choose our weapons carefully. Right, let's look at verse 38 to 40. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with the sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Saul would have used worldly weapons. That's what got him in trouble with the Lord in the first place. The Lord gave him a specific instruction, and Saul thought in worldly terms. Story I told you, when I was facing Goliath, the first time I trusted the Lord's tools, the second time I was using worldly weapons and failed. Worldly weapons will not win a spiritual war. You're taking a knife to a gunfight. Please don't do it. It's dumb. You're going to lose. Right? David relied on the weapons that the Lord gave him. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Divine power to demolish strongholds. Right? A stronghold, and that is, if you think of a castle with a moat or a city with a wall around it protecting it, that's a stronghold. Right? Well, what are the strongholds in my life? Pride, selfishness, fear, addictions. What's the stronghold in your life? Your Goliath will despise you. Verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with a shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. That's underlined in my Bible. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Your Goliath is going to belittle you. He's going to tell you, you're too small, you're too puny, you can't do anything. You're coming at me with a stick. Here, I've got a nuclear bomb. He's going to threaten you with destruction. Think about it, right? You're dealing with an addiction. Haven't you ever in your mind gone, this thing's going to kill me? This thing's taking over my life. It's destroying me. Right? Isn't that what happens? Right? And whatever it is, it's going to curse you by false gods. That's what Goliaths do to us. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Right? That's how a lion hunts. Right? You've probably heard me say this. A lion will follow a herd of gazelles or giraffes, whatever, looking for the one that's lagging behind. And when it shows a little bit of weakness, that's when the lion pounces. Right? When Goliath tells you you're too small, and you start to believe it, that's when the lion is going to pounce. So who's your Savior? 1 Samuel 17:45. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Right? Now, what does it mean to come in the name of the Lord God Almighty? You're coming under his authority. You're coming at his instruction. You're coming with his power, not your own. You don't face Goliath alone. Whatever your Goliath is, an ungodly Goliath, and that is defying the Lord. When you come against it, you're coming in the name of the Lord. Verse 46. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands. David knew that the victory was already won. He says this when he comes onto the field of the battle, before the first stone, only stone, is slung at Goliath. Right? He knows that the battle is the Lord's. I'd underline that in my Bible as a reminder. Right? Romans 8:31 tells us, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When you're facing a Goliath, you want to run to Goliath. Verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Why do you want to run towards the Goliath? I'll tell you why. The sooner you run towards Goliath, the sooner you will slay him. Stand there, wait, let him pick when the battle is? Baloney, that's foolish. You choose the battle. You run to Goliath because you know you have the Lord on your side to slay him. Verse 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. Now, I don't know, this may be stretching scripture a bit here. I don't know. You take it for yourself, right? Right. Goliath, I mean, he was covered pretty much head to toe, except for his face, with armor, right? Talks about, you know, he had scale on his chest, stuff all the way down his legs. The one thing that was open was his mind. Now, I look at it and go, you know, Goliath's mind wasn't on the Lord. He worshipped other gods. He defied God, right? It's real clear in what we've read this morning. So it strikes me that, you know, the one place where he was most vulnerable was the fact that he didn't trust the Lord. He came against the Lord, right? And that is David's strength. David put his mind was on the Lord. His mind was on godly things. And I think that's, I don't know, it seems symbolic to me that stone hit Goliath in the forehead. Right. Verse 51. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Now, to us, in the modern era, we look and go, boy, that's really pretty gory. Couldn't they just kind of left him there in the field? Well, oh, hopefully you didn't hear what Nathan just said. He said that's how David got ahead. There's a reason for this, though. In that time, if you took the head of your opponent, right, went back to your village, one, it proved that you had defeated that opponent. Two, it convinced the people, the villagers, that they wouldn't have to deal with that opponent again, that they were safe from that opponent. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd argue that we need to, when we defeat a Goliath, that we need to take that head as a testimony, right? We need to completely kill the Goliath, right? It says here, right, the stone didn't kill Goliath. The stone knocked him down and out. David had to finish the job by cutting off his head. When we face a Goliath, we need to cut off his head, right? We need to take it as a testimony, a witness to ourselves and to others for the future that we have slain that Goliath. Right. Now, what does this passage teach us? Like I said, it's like this isn't just a kid's story, right? I think it teaches us that we're all going to face Goliaths. Now, I'm not saying, you know, every time you have a flat tire in the parking lot that it's a Goliath. I'm not saying that at all. In that, but there are moments in our life where we have a sickness or a financial issue or a health issue or an addiction, whatever, that we face a Goliath. And we will all face them in our lives at one time or another. There's no way to get through this life without facing a Goliath. All right? Goliaths will threaten to destroy us. And Goliath will persist and continue to chase us down, right? We've heard it said, right, that sin takes us further than we want to go and costs us more than we want to pay, and it never delivers on the promise, right? And Goliath is a sin in our lives. We need to know ourselves, our enemy, and our Lord. We need to know who we are, right? Not only that I'm a weak individual, right? And too weak to face the Goliath by myself. I need to know that I'm a child of God, right? He created me with plans for good and not for evil, right? Ephesians 2 tells us that he created good works for me to do from before I was even born. I'm a child of God. He loves me. Jesus would have died for me alone. Right? That's who I really am. I'm not the least. Ah, in a way, I am the least. But I'm the most in Jesus. Right? We need to know our enemy. Our enemy is a liar. It's the father of lies. He will try to convince us of lies. He will lead us astray. He will devour us if we give him a chance. And we need to know our Lord. How loving he is, how powerful he is, how he has already won these battles. We need to know all three players in our Goliath story. We need to be prepared for battle, right? We need to be prepared before Goliath shows up and challenges us. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to bury his word in our heart, have that relationship built up with him, so that when time comes, we know how to fling those stones and that accurately. We need to know that Goliath is already defeated. So let me ask you, who or what is your Goliath? You going to face him? You going to dance with him? And let him win? Going to flee in fear? I pray not. I pray that each one of us, when we face a Goliath, we know where we stand with the Lord and we see the same victory that David saw. Please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that though we may in our flesh be the least, Lord, that in Jesus we have victory. That though this world is full of Goliaths that would dominate us, destroy us, that through you, in your name, by your power, by your authority, you've given us the stones that we need to defeat the Goliaths in our life. Lord, we thank you for that Savior, Lord, that makes all this possible. For otherwise, we would be separated from you and none of this would be possible. And Father, too, And a personal prayer that if anyone is listening to this message that doesn't know you, Lord, they don't have any stones in their shepherd's bag, Lord. Call them to you, Lord. Open their hearts up so that they come to know Jesus as Savior, so that they too might have that relationship and have your authority to slay the Goliaths in their life. And Father, finally, I'd ask that you'd help us share the testimonies of the slain Goliaths with each other's, Lord, and that so that we're always reminded because, oh, you know, what's your word say? Like sheep, we have all gone astray. It's easy for us to forget, as I did overnight, that we may slay a Goliath one day, and that, but we need to face another one tomorrow, Lord. And so help us to remember that you are the victor. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Hope you have a blessed week. Want to see you on the Zoom videos this week. And we'll see you again next Sunday. The Lord bless you.